It's a bird. It's a plane. It's a meteor. We're training our eyes on the sky this Friday on CNN 10. I'm Carl Azus. Here's what's up. This week, there were more than 400 reports of fire in the sky. They were mostly concentrated in and around Alberta, Canada, though the meteor was also visible in other parts of that country and in the U.S. state of Montana. Thanks in large part to surveillance and doorbell cameras, the American Meteor Society received more than 100 videos of this. The thing was so bright it was classified as a fireball. According to NASA, that means the rock could have been bigger than 3 feet in diameter. It's a shocking celestial sight that looks really cool as long as it doesn't hurt anything. And as far as we know, it didn't. Scientists believe it was just a meteor, not a meteorite. What's the difference? There are a lot of small rocks that are zinging through space. They're called meteoroids. If one of these rocks hits the Earth's atmosphere, it becomes a meteor. That's also known as a shooting star. The streaks you see across the sky are the result of meteors burning up in our atmosphere. Researchers say more than 90% of them burn up completely. If they don't do that, though, if part of the rock survives its entry and smacks into the Earth's surface, it's then classified as a meteorite. Thousands of tiny meteorites strike the Earth every year. But as far as we know, the one seen this week in Canada wasn't one of them. It's believed to have been a meteor. There haven't been any fragments reported from the Earth's surface. Initially, scientists didn't know how big it was, how fast it was moving, and what it was made of. But they're able to piece together some information about it based on the multitude of different recordings taken from different cameras in different locations. 10-second trivia. To date, how many cities have hosted both the Summer and Winter Olympic Games? 5, 3, 1, or none? No single city has hosted both seasonal Olympics before, but Beijing, China is set to become the first next year. The Chinese capital hosted the Olympic Summer Games in 2008. It's set to host the 2022 Winter Olympics next February 4th. Looking ahead, the events will return to Paris, France in 2024, Milano Cortina, Italy in 2026, Los Angeles, California in 2028, and the International Olympics Committee just announced yesterday that Brisbane, Australia is the preferred host for the 2032 Summer Olympics. This is a new process for Olympic organizers. They haven't announced the venue for the 2030 Winter Games yet, and Brisbane's bid to host the 2032 Games isn't a done deal. The IOC still has to vote on this to make it final. But because hosting the Olympics takes years to plan for, and because of the uncertainty that still surrounds the 2020 Games, which were delayed by the coronavirus pandemic, the committee's trying to devise a stable and predictable way to determine future host cities.
In another sign that the Olympic and Paralympic Games will likely take place this summer, on Thursday, Tokyo 2020 organizers laid out their plan for the Torch Relay. Starting in exactly 1 month, the Torch will begin its 121-day journey in Fukushima before making its way through all of Japan's prefectures. Now, Fukushima is one of the hardest hit areas during the 2011 Great Tohoku earthquake and tsunami, which caused a nuclear meltdown. Now, starting the relay in the region allows Japan the opportunity to highlight the reconstruction and recovery effort that has taken place since the devastating day nearly 10 years ago. Now, 10,000 torchbearers will take part in the relay, and perhaps a sign of things to come during the Olympic and Paralympic Games this summer, masked spectators will be allowed to line the relay route, but have been asked not to cheer and instead to show support by clapping. Officials have also asked spectators to avoid contact with people, closed spaces, and crowded areas. Temporary suspensions of the relay could take place if a large crowd forms. Now, the format of the relay could also change depending on COVID-19 restrictions in each prefecture. Blake Essig, CNN, Tokyo.
Next story is about Eurasian beavers on the River Otter. Let's explain. The Otter is the name of a river in Devon, England. These wild Eurasian beavers are some of the first to live there in about 400 years. These animals were hunted to near extinction before the 20th century, in part because they were prized for their fur, used in felt hats. But conservation efforts have helped the species recover, even though their relationship with people still isn't perfect.
What people didn't realize is how important beavers are to the landscape. The dams they build regulate water flow, increase biodiversity, and even drive down pollution. In short, beavers are what are known as ecosystem engineers. Beavers build dams and canals for their own protection. The dams raise the surrounding water, which helps them escape from predators. But wetting the landscape has a greater impact. It also slows the water flow, reducing floods downstream in the wet season and drought in the dry season. Experts warn that areas like Devon are expected to see more flooding, but a recent study on beavers in England showed that their dams can reduce average floodwaters by up to 60%. The organisation behind reintroducing beavers to Devon is the Devon Wildlife Trust. But before they released any beavers into the wild, ecologists ran a trial on how beavers might change the landscape.
So this is a 3-hectare enclosure that was built in 2010. What can you see? That's right, that's the dam there. That goes all the way across, so it's about 40 metres long. When we put them in here and started to see what they did to the watercourse, it was really profound. You know, we all suddenly became much more conscious of just how powerful this animal was.
The Trust received permission to release beavers into the wild in 2015. It was the first licence in England to do so, and the effect on the River Otter Basin was dramatic.
This pond has been created by the beavers, so they built a small dam that has increased the water level in this area. That's enabled them to build a lodge on this island. Beaver Lodge is the home of beavers. The entrance to the lodge is underwater. And right now, we've probably got the adult pair in this island, along with kits from this summer and the previous summer. So there might be 8 beavers in that lodge right now.
There's also been a huge increase in biodiversity as the wetland habitat attracts water voles, otters, amphibians, and bird life. But beavers can cause trouble. For one, they're big. Beavers like Pink Tag can weigh up to 30 kilograms or 66 pounds.
That's quite a big dog. We've had fishermen telling us stories that they've been a bit scared whilst fishing close to beavers.
They also can waterlog farmland and eat orchard trees. So a big part of Chant and Elliot's job is working with local landowners to make sure everyone is happy. But overall, beavers are a huge benefit to ecosystems and society. Nations across Europe are working to restore them to their original range.
It's been a hugely successful conservation story. Beavers were reduced to around 1,200 back in the 1920s, and now there are over 1 million beavers within Europe.
We've heard of the eye of the tiger, the roar of the tiger, paper tigers, and a neon tiger, but this is the first time we've heard of a singing tiger. Fascinating. Let's hear more. I think we need to work on your pitch. Has Cat got your tongue? Well, I think you can advance, but you'll be working with Lionel Richie. So this is what's being called a singing tiger. He's an 8-month-old male cub at a Siberian zoo who's able to hit high notes that other tigers can't. Officials say he's not in pain. This is just what he does to get attention. Tiger, tiger, burning bright, in the music halls of night, it's not in roars that you delight, or purrs and furs that others might. You're a cat of different stripes, hitting high notes with your pipes. On the prowling Cajun meadow, from the pitch of your falsetto, you're a rebel without cause, lifting voice through open jaws, singing not just for applause, but just because you can, entertaining beast and man. Apologies to William Blake. Shout out to Waterville Senior High School in Waterville, Maine. Water, you think of Fridays? They're awesome. I'm Coral Azuz for CNN.